Yeah, I don't know about you. When I see teams, like especially teams inside the division with the Braves, I love it when I see huge contracts, like, you know, whether it's like with Bryce Harper. So when we get $300+ million and the Braves aren't spending it and somebody else is, that's less money to go around for them to fill other holes and other needs that they may have. Your thoughts about what transpired this week with Gerrit Cole and now a new $324 million contract over 9 years?
Yeah, I, you know what? I just love the fact that there's activity this offseason. You know, the last couple of years, free agency has really dragged on and on. The winter meetings came and went, and nothing really happened. I love the fact that teams are spending money, and obviously one in the Braves division with the Nationals, bringing Steven Strasburg back to a huge extension to keep him in Washington. But the good news is they weren't able to keep Anthony Rendon. So I know Braves fans will be happy to know that they won't have to deal with Rendon as you go forward here. Obviously, Gerrit Cole was a guy that the Yankees had circled. They've had their eyes on him for years. And I think that they felt like, you know, this was clearly the guy they wanted. And it's pretty obvious when the Yankees want somebody, they're going to go out and get him. And they said it's exactly what they did. So, yeah, again, I'm just glad that teams are out there. They're spending money. They're making moves. Because, you know, the last couple of years, the Players Association hasn't been happy. And the good news is we probably won't have to read any of their press releases here, at least for the foreseeable future, complaining about, you know, collusion and things of that nature.
All right. Before you tell me which one that you feel is the most likely scenario for the Atlanta Braves, what do you feel like the percentage is that the Braves will either re-sign Josh Donaldson or work out a trade to get Chris Bryant from the Cubs?
I feel like a trade's probably more realistic. You know, the sense I'm getting.
But do you feel like But percentage wise, for both to happen, what do you feel like the percentage is? At least one of those two things will happen.
I would say probably I'll go 65%. Okay. If they're able to pull off a trade for Chris Bryant. And the reason I say that is because we really don't know what his service time status is to this point. Once that grievance gets situated, we'll have a better idea if he has 1 year or 2 years of control left. So that'd probably be, you know, better from there. As far as Josh Donaldson is concerned, look, I know there's interest on both sides. The Braves want him back. He liked being here. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that want him. And it does get I do get the sense that, you know, a fourth year is probably going to be what it takes to get Josh Donaldson back. Now, look, I made the argument on our website, on my weekly blog, that if I'm the Braves, I feel like the risk is worth it in the end. If you have to overpay for Josh Donaldson, let's say you got, you know, you get three really good years out of him, and the fourth year is, you know, so-so. Well, my question would be, have you won a World Series in those 3 years?
Good point.
The answer is yes. If you feel like you can win a World Series, I don't think anybody in Braves country would be upset that they're overpaying Josh Donaldson in his age 37 season, because they've got the trophy, they've got a ring. So for me, I just, if they could find a way to just, you know, say, look, maybe we are going to have to overpay. But you know what? He was such an important piece of this team in the lineup every day, in that clubhouse. I mean, I saw it on a daily basis. What he meant to this team off the field, probably even more important than what the fans saw him bring on the field.
Well, the other part, too, I mean, you can protect yourself, too, from an injury if that does indeed occur. So you can protect yourself from that standpoint. And if this does transpire, what does this mean, Austin Riley? What does it mean for Austin Riley and how the Braves would see him fitting into this lineup?
Well, you know, for Riley, at least they know he can play the outfield now. And look, he's not pretty out there, but he certainly wasn't a butcher by any sense of the term as far as an outfielder goes. But I think the fact that you know he can play the outfield, maybe that does change your thoughts as far as what his long-term future is. I think ultimately he's a third baseman, but, you know, hey, look, as his career goes on, maybe he becomes, you know, a guy that you can put at the corner infield and corner outfield spots. So, you know, I think that right now the Braves would ultimately like him to start at AAA this season. Now, that's going to be dependent on what kind of moves they're able to pull off between now and the start of the regular season. But, you know, just he came on with such a tear. And obviously we all knew he couldn't keep that pace up. But I think that, you know, Alex has sort of said a couple of times, a little bit more seasoning probably wouldn't hurt him at the AAA level. So I think they would like, ideally, for Austin to start at AAA, work on breaking balls, work on sliders down and away, because that's really where he was getting beat the final couple of months of the season. Just couldn't tell the difference between a fastball and a breaking ball, and teams really exploited that very quickly.
You know, it's interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, if you're the Cubs, are you playing the wait-and-see game? Let Josh Donaldson decide where he's going to play, because at that point, teams get desperate. And that means that raises the value of, say, of a Chris Bryant if you definitely want to trade for him. If we're looking at that scenario where no Josh Donaldson, the Braves then looking to make a trade, what will they have to give up?
Well, you know, the sense that I get as far as, you know, what a Bryant deal would cost you is probably at least one arm. And I'm talking about, you know, a pretty highly regarded arm. Now, that could be, you know, an Ian Anderson. That could be, you know, a Bryce Wilson. I know there's a lot of scouts that are really high on Bryce Wilson. I heard that a number of times last year during the season. A handful of scouts asked me about this kid quite a bit. I think Austin Riley would probably have to be a part of that. And, you know, look, I think if you're the Cubs, you're probably looking for an outfielder as well. Oh, by the way, you've got a three-time Gold Glover in Ender and Ciarte that could also be packaged as part of a deal. So it's probably a three-for-one. But, you know, again, would the Braves have to, you know, fork over probably a little bit more than they'd want? Probably. But, hey, if you have Chris Bryant in the middle of your order, do you think you have a chance to win a World Series in the next 2 years? I would argue you would. So I think probably 3-for-1 is what it would take.
And, you know, if you look at that pool of pitchers, in which I really would believe that one of them would have to be a pitcher. You mentioned Ian Anderson. There's Kyle Wright. Could be even a Mike Fultonevich and Max Fried also in that scenario.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, look, I would say this. Anybody not named Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Jr. is probably in play. Now, look, they're not going to part with Ozzie Albies. Let's not get crazy about any of these other guys. But, you know, I think that, you know, Freeman and Acuna are as close to, you know, as completely untouchable as you're ever going to get. And, look, I don't think the Braves have any interest in even entertaining conversations with those guys. But, you know, I think anybody else would be in play. I've heard Dansby Swanson's name mentioned this offseason. I've heard all those pitchers you just mentioned as, you know, trade possibilities. I think this is the year where, you know, look, they've held on to these prospects for the last few off seasons. They haven't made any moves with them. But at some point, you know, you have two outfielders in Drew Waters and Christian Pache. They could be ready for the big leagues at some point in the second half of 2020. You're not going to have room for all of them. You're certainly not going to have room for all of your pitchers. So, you know, what you saw last year when the Braves traded Colby Allard and Joey Wentz at the trade deadline, they said, look, these guys, you know, we don't feel like they're part of our long-term plans. You know, there's other guys we like a lot more than them. So, you know, I just kind of think that this is maybe the offseason you use that prospect capital and go out and pull off a big blockbuster deal.
Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network joining us again. All right, let me throw out the two words and get your thoughts. Cole Hamels, your thoughts now that he's a member of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I like it. I like the move. Look, it's there's a lot to like about this deal. Now, yeah, it's $18 million. So some fans are going, wait a minute, it's $18 million. But look, it's a one-year deal, so you're not blocking any of your top pitching prospects. It's a great guy to have in the clubhouse. I covered Cole in Philly in 2010 and 2011. Of course, he was a big part of what the Phillies did on that run from 07 through 2011, getting to back-to-back World Series. He was the World Series MVP. His numbers that year were insane in the postseason. So he's been a big-game pitcher. Now, look, is he the same Cole Hamels he was 10 years ago? Of course not. But I think that you look at where he was last season prior to the oblique injury. He was throwing the ball really well. Good leader off the field, a great asset for a Max Fried and a Mike Soroka and others to learn from in the clubhouse. And look, again, it's a one-year deal, which you can attach a qualifying offer to at the end of the year. So you could potentially bring him back if you like what he had for a second year, or if he walks, you get a draft pick in compensation when he signs elsewhere. So there's really a lot to like about it. And look, the big thing for me is he's an innings eater. He's going to go out there. He's going to make his starts. And that's really important right now because you remember that guy was Julio Teheran. He went to the post every 5 days. He made a 33 to 34 starts. He got you 180, 190 innings every year. You can pencil him in. You need somebody to fill up those innings. And I think Cole Hamels is the perfect guy to do it.
Hey, by the way, for those that are wondering, why not Charlie Culberson for the Braves' plans in 2020? What would you have to say to that?
Well, I think the writing was on the wall, Johnny, last year when you look at when Dansby Swanson was hurt in August. And, you know, they didn't give Charlie the playing time. You know, they went and they signed Adeni Echevarria and gave him the bulk of the playing time at shortstop. So I wasn't completely surprised that they, you know, didn't bring Charlie back. He's an affordable option. He was going to cost you about, you know, $1.6, $1.8 million in arbitration, which really, let's be honest, is that's nothing. So, you know, as far as a good guy to have, that's they're going to, you know, miss his leadership role. But I wasn't completely, you know, caught off guard. Again, the fact that they didn't give him the playing time, and we know Charlie is a versatile defender. You can put him anywhere in the diamond. Heck, you can have him pitch if you want to. But, you know, the fact that he wasn't playing and they felt the need to go sign somebody else, I wasn't completely caught off guard when they non-tendered him.
The Braves certainly been very active in the offseason, and one of the things that they did, they had to obviously make some moves with regards to the catcher position with Brian McCann retiring. Talk about that position, if you would.
Yeah, you know, I like the acquisition of Travis d'Arnaud. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has cited his power to all fields as being really a big strength of his game. Veteran guy, good game caller. I think he's going to fit in really nicely with this group, obviously. Familiar with the Braves, with his time in the National League East with the Mets for all those years, had some really good numbers with the Rays last year as a 30-year-old, 16 homers, 263 average. You know, look, he's not a big strikeout guy, good arm behind the plate, good pitch framer. So I've heard nothing but good things from folks who've been around him as far as, you know, the way he's going to fit in with this group. So, you know, look, Mac, it was great to have him back last season. But you could tell, I mean, at the end of the year, it was really wearing on him. You could tell he was, getting tired. The legs were getting heavy. But for him, for his career to come full circle, I thought was great. You know, and I think it meant a lot to him, to his family. You know, his kids are getting older. They understood, hey, we can go to the ballpark and watch Daddy again tonight. So I think that meant a lot to him as well. I got a feeling we're going to see Brian McCann right down there in those SunTrust seats, right next to Chipper Jones, taking in a lot of ball games this summer at SunTrust Park.
And obviously, if you're a Braves fan, one of the big question marks for the entire 2019 campaign was the bullpen. So here's a lefty in Will Smith, 3-year deal, $39 million. Chris Martin is back, 2 years for $14 million combined. And you mentioned at the catcher position, 2 years for $16 million. So the $69 million or so dollars, well spent?
I think it has been. I really do. Let's put it this way. I tweeted this a couple of weeks ago. The Braves bullpen on opening day was Arodys Vizcaíno, Johnny Venters, Jesse Biddle, Chad Sabatka, Shane Carl, Wes Parsons, Josh Tomlin, and Luke Jackson. Now think about how far that bullpen has come in just a calendar year. When you talk about plugging in,
It changed like 6 weeks later. I mean, it was totally gone. Yeah. 6 weeks later. So
exactly. But, you know, now you have Melanson as your closer. You have Will Smith as your setup guy. You've added Shane Green, an all-star closer. Chris Martin, I thought, was a really under the radar move to bring back, as was Darren O'Day. You know, this is a guy that as the season went along last year, I didn't think we'd see him at all. And he did a really nice job in, you know, limited experience down the stretch. But, you know, that funky delivery, deception, you can never have, it always helps to have a guy like that on your staff. So the bullpen's come a long way. It really has. Jacob Webb should be back healthy this year. He was a guy that really contributed at a very high level last season. So that's probably going to be an area to keep an eye on in spring training. Really, probably only one spot up for grabs. You're going to have a number of guys gunning for it. So the Braves will certainly have a lot of depth in the big leagues. But they'll also have a lot of reinforcements in the minor leagues as well, too.
So what is that magic number for Josh Donaldson in case we want to have like a telethon or something? Is it 4 years, $27 million a year, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, I would say probably, yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, 4 years and 100-plus probably. Now, look, I said all last year towards the end of the season, if I'm the Braves, I would go and give him 3 and 90 right now and just lock him up and don't let him, you know, get out to free agency. But obviously with Rendon signing that deal, I think it drives his price up a little bit more. And again, I think that fourth year is going to be big for JD. Now, again, the one thing I didn't mention earlier, you know, the CBA expires at the end of 2021. There's a real possibility the DH comes to the National League starting in 2022. So, again, another reason why, if I'm the Braves, it's worth the gamble. It's worth the risk because, again, your window of opportunity is wide open right now. Again, you've got a chance to have a DH potentially in the National League. And while it might be an overpay, if you have a parade, trust me, no one's going to care.